This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Trey Anderson was in the Bengals office today talking to Bengals brass, give him permission to seek a trade, and I do expect him to get moved. There's going to be significant interest. I would, of course, keep an eye on basically all the teams who would need one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, which is basically all of them. But among the teams, the Indianapolis Colts, they have Lou Anarumo, his former defensive coordinator. Last year with the Cincinnati Bengals, fired, went to the Colts. To me, this is the Bengals saying, love Trey Anderson, great player. His value is greater in a trade as opposed to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, where they made some level of progress trying to get them new deals. Their value is on the team. Henderson's value is not. Put it all together, and that'll be the Bengals who get on the field next season.
Ian Rappaport on the Bengals and their plans. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe, as we chat with you about all things trade-related. It's going to be a fun day, I suppose, right? Trade deadline for the Sabres and the Bills, whether it's a trade today or tomorrow or whenever.
Over under 1.5 trades we care about, both sports, today.
Oh, over.
Over? Sure. Does Yoki Haru for a fourth qualify as a trade we care about?
Yes, because trades that you get mad about do count.
All right. Wait, why would we be mad at that trade, though?
Because any trade for a fourth-round pick is going to make people mad.
that'll make you mad, I think, because is fourth jar of olives or is that dishwash detergent?
You know
whatever.
What? I'm gonna have to get that out
and get the chart back out
and double check. Yeah,
yeah.
I gotta check the chart. Jar of olives. Is the fifth-round pick the button on a dress shirt that doesn't fit anymore?
Oh right,
I forget.
Right. That was one. And sorry, I don't think it was. Was a dish? Was it? It wasn't detergent. It was a coupon for detergent.
A rebate for dish detergent.
Rebate. Yes. Not even a coupon. A rebate. Right.
A rebate for dish soap. That might be like the fifth round, the sixth round pick, whatever. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Hey, how are you? Give us a call. On Hendrickson.
Yeah, because he's interesting.
He is. I mean, listen.
He replaces Max Crosby as the I would love to get Myles Garrett or blank. It was Max Crosby. Now it's going to be Hendrickson, I think.
Yeah. He's more reasonable, right? He's going to want a new contract. He has been given permission to seek a trade instead of asking for a trade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It all comes down conceptually to what you want the Bills to do. And we're going to talk to Mike Giannitti of SpotTrack coming up at 7:30 about like the cap situation. What do you want them to do? I know what I want them to do. I want them to go in on a level that's never been gone in on before. Mm-hmm. I want them to burn the bridges behind them. Absolutely go in on everything and every contract, that doesn't mean that they extend every one of their own guys.
Mm-hmm.
It means don't tell me for a second they don't have the cap to pay player X. Of course they do. Make it happen.
Right.
Find a way. Redo deals, push as much money, live life like the Eagles. The Eagles did it. The Eagles model, like I'm also getting a little obsessed about models here, right? The Eagles win the Super Bowl, Joe, and along the way, they just crash everybody with their front four. Oh, wow. Look at that. How about Howie Roseman? What a genius. I ask you, go to SpotTrack's page and take a look at the Eagles roster and what they have done. Mm-hmm. The Eagles model, it's so much about the Eagles model is a headline about how they win with defense. You know what they do? They pay for offense and draft their defense. That's the model.
Yeah.
Of their biggest contracts, they're all on the offensive side of the ball. Everybody. They pay everybody.
Mm-hmm. Is that their still true? Contracts. They paid that Zach Bond, the linebacker, recently, but that's right. Still probably not top four for them.
Here are their top contracts. Bond just got into that mix.
Okay.
Hurts, Brown, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, Darius Slay, who they just released.
They released him, yeah.
Goddard, Devonta Smith, there's Bryce Huff. Barkley, Landon Dickerson. Top 10, I've got
two.
9 out of 10.
9 out of
8
10.
Eight out of the 10 biggest contracts of the Eagles are on the offensive side of the ball,
yeah.
Including a $50 million quarterback.
Right.
Tell me about the Eagles model. I'm listening. You can spend every draft pick you want on your defense and just pay for offense. Just go ahead and do that. The Eagles pay two receivers big, big money, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you look at their draft picks in recent years, this is very true what you're saying, because like what their first three picks last year went corner, safety, defensive end. The year before that, it went defensive line, edge, outside linebacker. The year before that, it went defensive tackle, offensive line, linebacker. So they've made two day one or day two picks in the last 3 years on offense, and they were both offensive linemen. So the last skill position player they picked like that was Devonta Smith, which they did now 4 years ago.
Right, which was a very high pick, and they took him and added him to A.J. Brown, who they, of course, traded for. So, here are the Bills.
Is that on the same day? Did they do that on the same day? Smith doesn't predate Brown. They trade for Brown on draft day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And Vrabel loses his mind with the camera in the room. So that was one of the COVID drafts. Maybe it's the same draft even. But no, you're right. Like, I mean, they did it with Smith, and they hit on the pick, and like, we're good. We don't have to do that again for, as long as Brown stays healthy, we don't have to do that again for like 5 years at least.
Yeah. That's where I get to. What should I be thinking of? Because a common refrain about what they should do is they had a good offense last year. Should they run it back? Should they run it back?
The Eagles? Bills.
The Bills. They had a great offense. Just run it back.
I don't think they should completely run it back. Can they run it back like 90% run it back? Because I'm going to be on this point strong all offseason, that they were second in the league in scoring, but they got some help with not – how did they – what was part of the reason they got to second in the league in scoring? One was they didn't turn the ball over at a historic rate, number one in the league in that, and something that Sal's pointed out a lot when talking about their special teams, they had the best average drive start in the NFL – last year,
turnovers from the defense,
because their defense turned it over. You want to include that Codrington was one of the top returners in the league. Go ahead, but like returners or turnovers on defense helped that too. So you never gave away possessions by turning the ball over, and your average drive start was better. I'm not saying that is the only reason they were number two, but it could be the difference between being like number six and number two, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe number five and number two. So and what the Bills' standard should be is I don't want to just accept I'll get a little regression on both of those categories, and if I'm the sixth best offense in the league next year, I'm okay with that. You've been strong in this too, that I am not okay with them just accepting like being the sixth best offense in football. They were second last year. I want them to be second again. And if I'm going to get regression in some other areas, I need to be better somewhere else. And the only place to really look for that is, I think, downfield speed and outside wide receiver.
Yeah, the idea of standing pat or running it back offensively for the Bills, I just feel like it might be a little strong to say a loser mentality,
mm-hmm.
but McDermott will say stuff like this. You get to the offseason, you know, you kind of tear it down and build it back up. Like, what do we got? What can we do better? How can we improve? The Bills had an amazing offense, and decided that they wanted to be a yak-based offense instead of the offense that they had in the early portion of Josh Allen's breakout. And they did it.
Yeah.
So they didn't sit on their hands then. They made big changes, and they drafted Kincaid. And, you know, agree or disagree, like, they're always trying to find ways to improve. And the idea of running it back and just bringing back the same old offense, Joe, is anybody else in the NFL doing that? Who else is just running it back? What are the Chiefs going to do? The Chiefs are going to try and overhaul their offensive line again, probably get help on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
What is...
There might be only one team in the league that doesn't, and is that Philadelphia? Because they're re-upping everybody and...
Sure, sure.
They're just paying everybody?
Baltimore. Baltimore went 14-2. They were the one seed. Did they run it back? They got Derrick Henry. And they didn't win. But Baltimore
right,
did not run it back. Baltimore said, let's get a freak show. We got to get better. We were awesome, and we have to be better. And I think the Bills should be living in that space. They were awesome. And, of course, they should want to be better. Because mm-hmm. every time you hit an offseason as a team on the top, other teams are trying to come for you. And Josh Allen, of course, is amazing. Maybe the best quarterback in football right now. I don't like this space we live in where we are now kind of getting used to, hey, he's amazing. He doesn't need help. He doesn't need anybody special out there with him. Look how good the offense was last year. They ran the ball amazingly with a great offensive line. Cook had a great year. By the way, he's immediately being cast aside by a good chunk of fans. Not everybody, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh is so good, he's somehow convinced people that they'd be fine if they don't have anybody good. Fine if they just have, you know, have guys.
Yeah. I think maybe that's feels true to a lot of people right now because you just kind of did see it to some extent. They tore it down, and the expectation of the offense was, all right, we're about to see what the floor is. We don't really know what the floor is yet because they've had Diggs and they've had an elite, you know, at times, you know, you had to go back a couple years, but there was times where they had an elite receiving core. Like, all right, now let's see what it really looks like when it's torn down to the studs. And then it went the way that it did. So that might feel like that's the floor of the offense. And I just feel like there's not going to be a much, you know, they're going to bottom out. If Allen is their quarterback, they're not going to be one of the worst offenses in football ever, or even maybe middle of the pack. But that doesn't mean you can't be better, and that doesn't mean you can't be worse than you were last year on offense, which, again, was good. It was great. They set the record for touchdowns in a season for the Buffalo Bills. So I can understand why someone would think, I don't need to go all out and go trade for DK Metcalf and pay him $30 million a year. I can just do these modest move here, modest move there. Let me just sign Josh Palmer. You know, that's me trying to get better. Let me sign Josh Palmer. I just don't have to go nuts because Allen is this good, and I've got all these other pieces. My line is amazing. I've got a good run game, and that should be enough. And I can kind of focus on the defense. I can get to that standpoint. It's not going to be my preferred outcome, though, because I want to see them go all out and go get a Metcalf and be as good as... You could be number one. I think you could be number one with this offense, and I would not want them to settle for just being like third, fourth, fifth, sixth.
I guess what I would land on with that is, how is that any different than what they have done? They have spent and poured assets into the defense. This is not a team that's been the Bengals.
Right.
They have outspent on defense routinely. The defense has been more expensive than the offense regularly with this team. What's different? They had a mm-hmm. draft where they drafted defensive ends in the first and second round. And then the next year spent $120 million on a defensive end. And they draft in the secondary all the time. They've gone first-round picks twice in the secondary. I'm mm-hmm. not mad about that. This idea that, oh, no, you've got to make sure you build your defense. I don't think they're ever going to stop. I guess it comes down to 2 years in a row, they went out and drafted pass catchers.
If you go, you can set the bar wherever you want. Their last six first and second round picks, five of them are on offense.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, for three years now, they have started to move the meter back the other way. Problem is, one of those is a running back, by the way, but still.
Yeah, one of those running back. And the previous however many picks on the offense were running backs.
Right.
There's a lot of running
backs. But since then, since they drafted James Cook in the second round, it's tight end, offensive lineman, and it's wide receiver. So mm-hmm. But that's the thing, right? It's I only got one receiver pick, and I've got a tight end pick that just still is confusing, and we haven't seen the fruits of, and then it's a guard. So I want to give them a little credit for not just strictly drafting defense, but you know it hasn't been ideal for what I'd want them to do, especially at the receiver position. So I don't know. Like running it back to me is more about the identity of the offense, isn't it? Than even just the players. It's do we okay. want to run the ball as much as we did? Do we want to be built around the yak of the offense? Do we want to run a lot of screens? Do we want Shakir to be a 100-target player? Like, it's to me, unless you trade for Metcalf, any move they make this summer, am I right thinking the identity of the offense is going to be the exact same, just with a couple of different pieces?
Yeah, I think so. Right?
They're not going back to airing it out. Brandon Bean airing it out to, you know, compared to what they were before. They still throw the ball a lot. But Bean, I heard on Pat McAfee a couple weeks ago, he said that he agreed with one criticism that was true of them for the first few years of Allen being an elite quarterback, which is they weren't, you've heard this before, they weren't built for Buffalo.
That
they would get to the playoffs and that they would get manhandled. And they weren't capable of running the ball, and they didn't have that other card to play. And
what side of the ball got manhandled, though? Like, let's be real about that. What side got manhandled?
It was the defense.
Right. The defense.
And he could have been talking more about the defense, but I don't know. The way it was, the question was framed, it was more about the offense. So I wonder what he thinks of what they are now versus what they were before. I mean, I'm sure in a perfect world he'd like to marry the two together. And maybe that's all we're talking about, but he sounded like someone that's not going to want to ever be built again, where his offensive line is middle to below average, and the receivers are elite, but they can't run the ball, they can't, you know, do all this other stuff.
I don't know. What's the path forward for them? They're right on the edge, you know?
The path forward for them is most likely going to be go spend this summer. Like, what I'm betting they're going to do, they're going to make one modest receiver move somewhere, and then they're going to go all out. They're going to do defensive stuff. Like, they are going to...
Oh, sure. As they should.
They're going to sign a Josh Sweat, or they're going to trade for a Garrett or a Hendrickson. They're going to use their first-round pick on defense. Like, their defense, I think, is going to look... That's their path forward. Their path forward, I'm almost positive, is going to be the defense looks completely different.
Well, I teased going to the break, and I'll tell you this: what the answer is here. Bill Barnwell, ESPN, teams that should trade for Metcalf, best fits, and on. He broke down what a Metcalf new deal would look like. Like, let's give him a new deal. All right, how about 4 years, 128 with 75 guaranteed?
It's a little over 30.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what his cap hit this year would be
on that contract?
Yes.
Would it be like 14?
It depends. He has a couple different ways to break it down. But Metcalf on a deal, he's got it 4 years, 128. And then he goes on to talk mm-hmm. about where he would fit. What could they get for him? He thinks not that much. You're not getting a first and a third. Like, Diggs got a first. He was entering his age 27 season.
Yep.
Metcalf has not been a big – he's not a true number one producer. He is very good at what he does. And mm-hmm. he goes on to get right to the Bills. All right, the Bills. What should they offer? And he suggests Keon Coleman and says it's probably a little too much.
Coleman is too much?
Yes. If Schneider asked for Coleman as part of a return, a one-for-one would be weighed too heavily toward the Seahawks. But Coleman and a day three pick might be fair value. So Bill Barnwell says Coleman and a day three pick.
I understand why he would say that is too much, because it is it's money, right? Money is going to be a big factor here. You're getting $30 million for the player you're acquiring, and the other team is getting the rookie contract. Mm-hmm. But I mean, come on. I don't know. That's too much. One player is provably great, and the other one, like, at best, I'm at a maybe right now.
It would be very odd for them to give up on Coleman. I can't quite square the idea of them trading him with what they've said about him. The fact that they've said all that about him publicly almost means that they've lessened his value, right? Let's say that the Seahawks would have made that call, which, by the way, an interesting part of this, if you're talking about a Metcalf and Coleman trade package, which I don't really need to do that. I'm not giving up on Keon Coleman yet.
Well, if you trade for Metcalf, how much is Keon Coleman playing?
Plenty. The answer is Mac Hollins stops playing so much, which, you know.
All right.
But
what was Coleman? Coleman, you're changing Coleman's role then, which I'm good with. Like,
Why am I changing Coleman's role? He can play on the outside.
He led the league in percentage of his targets being go routes last year. Those are now all Metcalfs. They should be,
yeah,
at least.
Maybe.
So he's not running straight routes anymore. He's doing underneath stuff. He's maybe lining up in the slot a little bit more often.
Sure. Metcalf's going to run in-breaking routes. Metcalf runs a lot of different stuff. The criticism coming out was he doesn't run the full route tree, but he runs enough. But you could have Coleman and Metcalf for sure. They're not similar players. Coleman's been very good against zone. Metcalf's very good against man. So you do have different skill sets, despite them maybe being similarly sized. But anyway, just to this point, if they were going to trade Metcalf... Sorry, I was starting to get to the interesting thing. Think back to the Seattle game. Bills, they played Seattle this year.
Yeah.
What happened in that game?
Coleman, was it his best game of the year?
It might have been his best game. Coleman was great.
He bodied Tariq Woolen.
And what did Metcalf do?
He
didn't play.
Okay, that's why. I'm like, why can't I remember him? Yeah, he didn't play. He didn't play?
Right, he didn't play. Might be one of the reasons the Seahawks offense was really rough that day, because what does Metcalf do? Metcalf is, as much as Bean wants to say that they were better when Amari Cooper was on the field because defenses pay attention, Metcalf is a gravitational source. Defenses are going to rotate that way. Defenses are going to bracket him and cover him. And if you want to talk about a player that is going to go in and maybe he gets 80 targets, I don't know what the answer is or how many catches he gets, but if Bills fans saw Metcalf play against the Bills, maybe there'd be even more of a push to get him. But I forget who it is. It might be Kevin Cole. Somebody tracks how often teams trade for a player after that player had a great game against them or sign a guy. Oh, this guy had a huge game against the Giants, and then the Giants signed him. Coleman was very, very good against Seattle. So if you are the GM in Seattle and you think, all right, let's talk trade, I might take Coleman because I would immediately get younger, cheaper, and my fans might be impressed. They might think that guy's pretty good, and I might have thought that guy's pretty good too. So, Barnwell said Coleman and a day three pick, and I'm just not sure. I don't know what the right pick is. I don't know what the right package is. I know I'm interested in the whole thing, though. I think it's awesome. It's a great off-season conversation, Metcalf.
Yeah, I am too. I am maybe a little lower than on Coleman for this because I just think. He becomes my Gabe Davis then, doesn't he? If he's on the team and I've figured out a way to trade for Metcalf without using him. Like that's the part I'm trying to figure out, is like him coexisting with another big receiver move. Especially one that is like the last time there was a chart from Matt Harmon on Metcalf reception perception, 19.6% of his routes were the go route, which was more than any other route except the slant. And Coleman last year, like comparing that to his number, he and Metcalf are two of like the top five receivers in the league at passes over 20 yards down the field, which we've said, Allen wants that, right? Allen wants to chuck the ball deep. So I can have two of those. I guess that's the answer then, right? Allen wants to chuck the ball deep. I'm giving him two guys now that he can do that with that do it in very different ways. Okay. Metcalf is running by guys. Coleman is, I just got to chuck it up and hope he comes down with it.
Alternatively, maybe you'd have somebody that's not Keon Coleman running those routes because now you have someone that is good at them, and that's Metcalf. Someone that, when he runs it, they send two defenders toward him. Because that's another thing about Coleman is he faced single coverage all the time. Defensive coordinators were not afraid. They did not send a second defender over there against Keon Coleman. And maybe as he gets better and better, he'll earn more double teams. But Metcalf gets double teamed. We got to play some of the highlights from Nico Tamurian, who was on with Sally yesterday, who got all – he covers the Seahawks, went all in on Metcalf about how he's a good teammate and how he's probably underrated and he's drawing double teams all the time and whatever. Is he the perfect idea? I don't know about perfect. It's a good idea. And that Coleman trade that Barnwell floated, I mean, it's definitely juicy. 803-0550, we'll get a break in. Mike Gennetti of SpotTrack on the other side to talk to us about the Bills cap, what they can do, what moves to expect the next couple days, because the league year is going to start, and if they're going to pay anybody, they still have room. They've got to make some room. Sam Martin was let go. That created a little space, whether it's restructures or extensions, much more to come. 803-0550 to join us here on
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BUGR.
Back and forth they go. Tage not been given much room for the one-timer, so he risks that one in and score. From the far circle and well out, Tage Thompson, when the one-timer was taken away, eventually decides, I'm just going to wrist it towards Vasilevsky. And
one of the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Firth Jewelers, great highlight there. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Tage, they take the one-timer away. He scores anyway. And the Sabres ultimately fall in Tampa today. Deadline day. We'll talk to Paul coming up at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
When you look at a player like DK, he's still a big guy. He's really good off the ball. He obviously has come up with some really big catches. And when you're taking a look at just this free agent market of wide receivers, it's not great. So I can see why there are teams poking around to try to see if they can get Seattle to move off this number here, at least of a first round pick, knowing that, look, he could go to a team and quickly make a difference. But I do think he's going to need a team with a strong head coach. I was told he wants to go to a warm weather organization. Okay. So I think that cuts it down to some of the teams here that we're talking about that would be interested.
Diana Rossini there.
All right. Good night on that one.
No, listen, we all want warm weather. We just don't always get it.
But if you could choose.
If I could choose, I would choose warmer weather. But I can't choose. So, you know, that's how it goes.
It's not a great sign.
Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack joining us on the Western Hotline to talk cap stuff, Bills cap. I sent Mike a message and said, are you due on the afternoon show? I feel like, Mike, we've got you on the station once a week, every couple weeks, especially this time of year when we're trying to dig into what the Bills can and can't do, how we could possibly see them work the cap, and what pie-in-the-sky ideas are feasible. So, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning. My pleasure. Yeah, it's a busy week for everybody here. And look, it's one of those years and with the Bills that there's not a lot of clear path forward, right? It's kind of like a lot of guessing games that we have to assess here, especially with these trade requests and, you know, the window of contention that they're in. So it's a good time to talk it out.
So these pie-in-the-sky ideas, you know, you kind of said it there. The path forward in years past, it's been kind of easy. A year ago, it was, I mean, yeah, sure, if you cut Mitch Morse, you'll save this. If you let Gabe walk, if you cut Poyer, Hyde, and Trey White, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, here's your six moves to do. Right now, we're kind of waiting. Vaughn is the only one that we know would be obvious, and even that one I'm not quite sold on. Sam Martin. Mike, what are the ways that they can clear up space, and just how much room could they clear up?
Yeah, you know it's a complicated offseason when the punter is the first move they make, right? That's usually a sign that there's going to be some sticky moments here. The Vaughn one's sitting out there, and you have to think that there's just some back and forth happening right now about the possibility of keeping him on something similar to last year. But, you know, the outright release is almost $8.5 million cleared. And, oh, by the way, they're about $8.5 million over the cap right now. So in terms of cap compliance, yeah, that's a pretty simple one if you have to get to that point of the roster. And then it gets really complicated because now you're talking extensions to lower cap hits. And that takes time. That takes, obviously, upfront cash and a lot more minutia. So I'm sure you've talked about those ad nauseum. There's a lot of ways to go here, right? There's no obvious cap cuts. There's no obvious just clearing moments. Even somebody like Kyer Elam, fully guaranteed. You need help with that one in terms of clearing cap space. So I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to start chopping the roster like they did last year, because quite frankly, doing that's not going to give you much cap space, and that's certainly what they're looking for over the next 3 to 4 days here.
Are we in a spot? I kind of haven't thought about it this way before, but do players have some leverage in this moment in certain circumstances, or teams alternately, because there's a bit of a deadline, right? If the Bills want to start bidding on anybody and doing any sort of business and adding players, they know they need somebody to play ball or get out of town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, that's exactly probably what Greg Rousseau's camp is doing right now, because he's sitting there with a higher cap hit and a need for a contract. And I would imagine that most of these contract situations, Benford and Cook, to some degree McGovern, are in those boats as well. So, yeah, you've got agents sitting here using every leverage piece possible in terms of price points and timing and all of that, and that's certainly a situation that we're sitting here. And, oh, by the way, you know, the Josh Allen situation might be the biggest one, which is highest cap hit, easy to convert, but $14.5 million of cash, so you know something's going to give there soon.
Yeah, so what would that look like? That's not an extension, right? Or is just a pay? Would that be announced as like a pay raise that would also lower their cap this year?
I'm starting to lean more in that direction with 4 years left, right? It's just kind of unprecedented to rip it up and start it over, even though that's probably what he's worth right now, is a start over and a reset of the market, really, from the league standpoint. My guess is they do what they did last year, which is let's take money from a couple years down the road, make them happy, add some new incentives, make everything work, and then probably after 2025, it's no holds bar. We've got to start this thing over. You know, could be talking upwards of $65 million a year for a player of his caliber. So, I mean, it's just where we're headed, right? $300 million salary cap next year. So my guess is sweeten the pot this year, and then we talk about gigantic numbers next offseason.
Mike Gennetti, managing editor for SpotTrack, joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of the start of the league year, which will be middle of next week for the Bills and for everybody else around the NFL. You know, Mike, these big name trade bait guys, Hendrickson, Garrett, DK Metcalf, is the trade market, you think, this year maybe a little friendlier for these teams that are trying to get it done than years past, or at least for the Bills? Because while they have work to do, last year they were so stuck they couldn't even bring in a Brandon Ayuk because you need the room to bring that in and then redo the deal. They can get to a spot where they could feasibly do any of these big guys?
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, as much as we're sitting here saying it's complicated, if they needed to free up $25 million room to bring in a big fish, they could do it, right? They could do it pretty easily, and they've got players to play ball in that regard. It's also, I think, an explosive trade market, and for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of players who are sort of aging out of their current teams in terms of what the financials are going to look like, and it's kind of a down free agent year, as I'm sure you've talked about as well, right? It's just kind of a stuck year in that regard. So for a lot of teams, especially teams in contention like Buffalo, I think that trade market is the best avenue forward for some of these positional needs, and certainly this edge rusher one is getting bigger and bigger every time we look at the update the refresh X here.
I want to ask you about the Eagles and what they do. I was joking with Joe earlier, and I've been kind of on this little thing lately. I've been Eagles pilled. Like, my brain is now obsessed with what the Eagles do, which is they just spend more and push it later. Is it that simple? And is there anything stopping any other team from doing what Philadelphia does other than ownership committing crazy dollars? Like, how different are the Eagles financially in the way that they've been doing it?
Yeah, you nailed it. Howie Rosen gets all the credit because he's the one pulling the trigger on these things. But if Jeffrey Lurie isn't allowing him to do this, right, with signing bonuses basically every offseason to most notable players in that roster, it's not happening. And there's 31 other organizations that don't operate that way, that aggressively, that every offseason, right? So it takes a huge buy-in from everybody involved in the process. And, oh, by the way, it's also extremely risky, as we're seeing in New Orleans right now, right? They've been doing this for a decade without a viable quarterback since the Drew Brees era, and they are completely stuck in the mud right now. They're in a world of hurt to the point of where they're going to have to extend players they don't want to keep in order to become cap compliant. That's what's going to happen over the next 3 days in New Orleans, which is just bonkers. But that's the price you pay when you love your quarterback. And I realize I'm giving a lot of credit to the quarterback position. It's that important. When you love your quarterback, you have the carte blanche to do something like this, which is just continue to roll over 2 year extensions and keep everybody happy in the organization and keep free agents wanting to join that organization. So it's a great model to follow when you're hitting on all cylinders, and when you're not, it is one of the worst situations to be in.
A great model to follow. This is another, as I've just kind of started to learn a little bit more about this, and of course, you know what you're doing here. Is it really, do you think that sometimes, I'm not making about any team here, that the salary cap is used by GMs as an excuse to protect owners?
Oh, yeah, and to, you know, damper prices and to not sign players that they're a little fringy about, for sure. It's definitely still used as that, but I think that's going to go away. Not go away. It's going to diminish, and here's why. It's going up 11% every year. You're right, the cat's out of the bag, the elephant's out of the room. It's just too darn explosive right now in terms of the financials of this league and the revenue of this league to really turn around and say, we can't do this anymore. Now, you're going to have ownerships that won't spend to the cap, right? And there's a limit that they have to do that every couple of years. But you're going to have some, it's a bit of a cat and mouse here, Jeremy, where you're going to have the big guys winning and you're going to have the smaller guys sort of trying to keep up here. So it's a situation where Philadelphia is doing this, and they're doing this maybe better than anybody right now because of the current model. But because the salary cap is what it is, there should be at least half of the league going this route, pushing things down the line, constantly turning over these extensions, because it is the right way to be aggressive in this league with this revenue stream.
Is the narrative, for all the Eagles do right on that front and how it works there, are the Bengals the complete antithesis? Like, with the narrative is they don't spend. So how different, I guess, are they from what other teams in the league are doing, especially like Philadelphia?
Yeah, let me push back on that a little bit. They do spend. They have spent, right? They have given proper positions, proper money over the years. Here's the difference. And it's kind of what we're alluding to here with the Eagles. The Eagles turn it over and over and over. They give you a four-year deal. You get a new one in 2 years, you know, or in Barkley's case, after year one. That's how they do it. Cincinnati gives you good, fair, you know, above-average contracts and say, we want you to honor these contracts. So the majority of their major players have finished their contracts. That's not going to happen anymore in this league, unfortunately, unless we get fully guaranteed contracts, which certainly doesn't look good right now. That's the difference. They want you to honor their contract, and to some degree, the Dallas Cowboys are very, very similar, right? Two of those teams that do spend cash but feel like they don't because they're not aggressively changing their contract structures over and over again. I think that model is probably going away, especially with free agency and this trade stuff getting so aggressive. But we'll see. It's two different ways to do it. It's been successful in both regards, but I think that the Eagles model is probably where more teams are headed right now.
Mike Jannetty, Spot Track managing editor. Okay, to wrap up then, Mike, do I have your blessing, whether it's viewed as irresponsible or not, to say, forget it all, push it all to 2030, you have Josh Allen, and spend on everything possible.
Just
I don't want
to rack up the credit card.
I mean, when Bean said I don't want to ever get to a spot where I have to tear it down with Josh Allen, I want to say I want you to have to maybe tear it down in 2030. Like, now is the time. I don't want to hear a word about responsibility. I need all of it.
I don't know why you wouldn't go that route. Truly, okay. Right? I put together a Josh Allen extension prediction just locally because I'm a huge nerd, right? I put it into a spreadsheet. I tried to give the guy a $62 million a year contract. I was able to do it with $308 million of cash and keep his cap hits in the 40s for basically 3 to 4 seasons here using the Philadelphia structure, using 5 bonuses out, you know, baked into the cake. It's possible. It's possible to give Josh top-of-the-market money, keep his cap hits within 20% of the league cap, and continue to aggressively sign this roster. Now, you got to hit on draft picks. That's the other secret sauce Philadelphia's hit, right? You got to hit on draft picks. You can't give away all of your draft picks. Like I know maybe some people want to do right now with a Myles Garrett or a Trey Hendrickson, but it's possible. It's certainly possible to just say everything matters, everything works. Every offseason we're going to be uberly aggressive because this is the Josh Allen era and we don't get these every year.
Just to wrap very quickly, it's two things, right? It's the draft picks and you've got what was the number you said? Like are you signing a $300 million check like today? Like
yeah,
the owner's got to have that
escrow,
ready?
Escrow right away.
Escrow, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least 75% of that. That's just the going rate. Dak Prescott got about 80% practically guaranteed up front. That's where we're headed now.
Okay. All right. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Always great work. SpotTrack.com, Mike Jannetty, managing editor. See, Joe, are you Eagles-pilled yet?
I like it.
Listeners, everybody out there, are you ready? Forget it all. You got to do it all. It's time. It's the time. You want a Super Bowl? You're going to have to go buy one. Garrett and Metcalf and Hendrickson. There you go. You heard it? All right. We'll get a break in. It's NHL trade deadline day as well. Paul Hamilton coming up top of the hour. We got to catch up on some phone calls. Lots to get to. Trades are sexy and a lot of sexy trades out there. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right. Very fast before we get to Paul Hamilton. Maybe you watched last night's Sabres game. Maybe not. Emily Kaplan, ESPN, on the broadcast said in the intermission that she spoke with Kevin Adams during the morning and that Adams said he's trying to do something big. How specific was he being with that? Who knows? There's plenty of smoke around J.J. Paterka right now. They did extend Jordan Greenway. Zucker is a tough thing to figure out because he's hurt. You can't trade him if he's hurt. Anyway. Kevin Adams tells Emily Kaplan, trying to work on something big. Paul Hamilton, when we get back, it is NHL trade deadline day. Last day for months to try and see if the Sabres are going to change their course. We'll talk to Paul. You can join us, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.